Welcome back to the Lash Base podcast. Today I have a treat for you. Many people that join the lash industry at some point decide that they would consider starting their own lash brand. So I thought I would get somebody on the show, Michelle from Paris Lash Academy, that managed to start a lash brand and grow it to one of, if not the biggest lash brands in the US and maybe the world in just 4 short years. I wanted to ask her exactly how she did it and how other people can do it too. So if you ever have dreams of starting your own lash brand, this episode is 100% for you. Let's go. Here we go then. I'm here with Michelle of Paris Lash Academy, or PLA, as many people do know them as. And I'm so happy, Michelle, that you've come onto this podcast, because I know we were talking just before this recording about how many people that come into the lash industry at some point during their journey consider starting a lash brand. And because you're somebody that has done it better than anybody else and someone that has done it in such a short space of time, I thought, what a perfect opportunity for me to talk to you and you to help share all of that information. So thank you very much for coming on. And I guess my first question, as I always start with, is could you just tell us about your journey in the lash industry so far, like right from the beginning?
Hi, Jamie. Thank you so much for having me today. And thanks for the compliment. I don't think I do it better than everybody else, but it's our company sort of have a unique story. There are so many amazing lash brand, and often I tell people, yes, somewhat is what you sell, but also how you sell it. But yeah, thank you. For my lash journey, is I start about 14 years ago, just being in the beauty industry in general. And then I kind of find that I really like doing lashes. I'm somewhat OCD. So I got into doing lashing before you needed to have an esthetician's or a cosmetologist license to do lashes. And I just kind of start self-taught and do lashes. There was not a whole lot of classes at that time in the USA. And obviously I made a lot of mistakes. I learned a lot of things by doing it wrong. And then when there's more and more classes coming from the UK, from Asia, and I got the opportunity to really learn it, I decided that, yeah, I'm going to make a career out of this. So I lashed for a good, I say like 6 years before I opened my first salon. And I owned my first salon for about 6 years. During the time that I owned the salon, I kind of expand my lash room from just me to my first assistant, my second assistant. By the time that I sold the salon, we had about like 10 or 12 lash artists full time. My biggest struggle with that was the obscene amount of money that I pay to buy lash supplies. And I look into kind of sorting my own lash supplies. And that was the early PLA. I figure I buy a good amount of lashes and I'll try to sell some of this to kind of make extra money and get rid of the lashes that I couldn't use in time, because you know the expiration date on bonder, on adhesive, and all the things. And I was trying to save some money for my salon by sourcing my own supply. I was kind of the early age of PLA, and I say about 2 years into doing it, I went home one day and told my husband I want to sell the salon and and do this full time. My husband actually thought I was crazy. Our salon at that time, all together with between the nail technician, cosmetologists, and estheticians, we had about 40 employees, and it were doing really well. I was, you know, we were comfortable working and, you know, raising a family. But my husband's like, you are insane. You can't do this. And I told him, I said, well, you know, if I do this and it doesn't work, I could always open another salon. Somehow I talked him into it. And then here we are, like, 2 years later. So PLA has been around for about 4 years, but for me doing it full-time, about 2 years.
Cool, which makes it even more impressive to see where PLA has got to, especially when you consider the fact that we've been through the pandemic as well, which would have been included in those 4 years from start to finish, which is unbelievable. So What was the reason for starting the lash brand? It was just purely to save money for your salon?
At first, I mainly just wanted to, because I did the calculations, right? When I had 10 lash artists, I was spending around maybe $800 a month just on adhesive, because my adhesive at that time when I bought them was $65 a bottle. It was very expensive. It was great, but it was expensive. So once I reached out to the manufacturers and know how much it would cost me to actually buy one adhesive, I just have to order 100. And when I calculated, I'm like, well, you know what? I could use 10 and throw 50 away and I would break even just the same as I would be buying at retail. That was just, you know, just cost to be the very first factor that I started the lash brand. After I went into it and realized I want to make this a career, because when people ask me, I always say that I'm more of an entrepreneur than a lash artist. I am a very average lash artist. I don't think there's any, you know, I've known so many amazing lash artists that I'm in awe of their talents all the time. And I'm not one of them. I'm just, you know, I'm particular, but no, I wouldn't call myself an amazing lash artist. I'm more of an entrepreneur and I like challenges. So that's another reason why I wanted to pursue it full time. And I was getting a little burned out with lashing, to be quite honest. By that point, I've already been lashing for 8 years, 9 years, 6 days a week. And it wasn't as fulfilling for me anymore.
I think that's something that a lot of lash artists that are in the industry for that, for a good length of time, feel exactly the same, because it's tough on your body. It's tough on your hands. It's stressful all the time with clients that come and go or don't show up or the problems that you can get. So mentally and physically, being a lash artist is a lot harder than I think people think, especially when you're trying to do it as full time for a career, which is where I think people then start considering their options, whether that be to go down the training route, to bring out products, to start events, to do any sort of like online courses and things like that. There's the good thing about the industry and the position that we're in right now is that there's so many different avenues that people can go down. There's still like this, we're not. And I want to ask you more about the fact that I know people say that we're in a saturated market, but we really, really, really not. The lash industry is so small. There's still so much room for growth. We're still not, the lash extensions themselves are still not completely mainstream. So I think, yeah, moving away from, if you want to have a long career in the lash industry, your options are like open up a salon and employ the people to do the lashes. But again, that steps you more into the business role. And then you go from there, which, yeah, very exciting. So that's how it all started. Why do you think that it was that your brand took off over, like I just touched on, the hundreds, if not thousands of people that have this exact same idea? What worked for you? What's the secret?
People actually ask me this a lot. And when I sit down and think about it, I started selling my product right before the pandemic hit, probably about like a year before the pandemic hit. The lash beauty industry for the longest time has been a hush-hush secret industry where everything that you learned would be from a class that you save up money, go there and pay money and, you know, learned all the things about it and then go home and practice. For the longest time, that is the extent of how you learn to do lashes properly. And tons of people couldn't really afford classes, myself included. When I first started, I couldn't really afford a tons of classes. Class in general are expensive-ish. You know, I was a college student. I couldn't afford a $2,000 class, let's be real. So when I went into the industry and been doing it for a long time and say, hey, I'm going to sell this product, I realized the one thing that is missing from our field is people freely sharing information about lashing. A lot of brands do educations for as part of their revenue, their income, and how we work out at PLA is we do education for pretty much free. And that started from very early on when I say, hey, I'm gonna sell this. I carve out 2 hours of my day. I was very strict about it. I said, doesn't matter if it rain or shine, or it's crazy, or it's, you know, an insane day at the salon or at home with my kids. I carve out 2 hours every day, 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the afternoon. And I joined every lash group there was. Nobody knew who I was. Still, a lot of people don't know what PLA is. And I'm hoping, you know, that will slowly kind of get to people like, hey, you know, we're a local brand in Reno, Nevada. But at first, nobody knew who I was. And I joined every lash group. I went on there and give advice, show lash map, do video, do retention tips for everyone and anyone who was asking. I'm sure it was a little bit annoying, you know, to lash group owners at that time, because God, who is this girl and why is she answering everyone's questions? And it could get overwhelming, I'm sure, for lash group owners, especially lash group that's brand specific. But I didn't have a brand at that time. I just wanted to help, and I wanted to see how much I could really relate to people when it comes to product. What I was mostly doing market research too, to see what is missing in the lash industry. And you know, and I really want to nail down a specific product that I would bring into the eyelash industry besides just your adhesive, your tweezers, your bonder, you know, all the things. I wanted to launch with a very specific product that not a tons of brand to have. So a couple of things, I went in and I just kind of helped everyone. And after a few months, people was in my DM all the time and, you know, asking for advice, asking for this, asking for that. Hey, how do I make this set? How do I troubleshoot retentions? How do I do this and do that? So when I came out with a brand, people were more receptive of my brand. People were more, well, she kind of helped me out when I was having problem. I give her mom and pop shop a try. That was truly how I started in the e-commerce, you know, eyelash industry, being a nobody. Nobody really knew who I was. They probably rolled their eyes and go, what the heck? And when I did market research, I realized if I launched ProMate, that I felt like that was a big missing piece for products at that time in America.
Definitely. Majority
of people did, you know, lash tray, tweezers, adhesive, and it's just kind of like a crapshoot out there. Everyone was doing the same thing. And when I looked at product and I said, oh my gosh, you know, I don't like pre-made personally. And I didn't want to have a product that was, the base was square, was hard to apply, was, you know, all the things. And I think there got to be a next best things to it. And I recognized this, Jimmy, by teaching. Not everyone could make a handmade fan. And then after a while, not everyone cares to make a handmade fan. When I launched this product, it was relatively new to America. My family was very worried. And I told my dad this, my dad who, you know, really has always been a role model for me when it comes to business. He say, Michelle, are you sure this is what you want to sell? Because it's very different with what everyone is selling. And I said, I look at ProMate like the future of lashing. Everyone's handmade now is more learning how to fly a plane. Everyone wants to learn how to fly a plane. Not everyone can, but if I bring out a car and it's easier to drive a car and I can train people how to drive a car, more people will buy car than they are buying plane, though they want to buy plane. So I want to bring in a product that's easier to apply, that doesn't take a tons of practicing, you know, frustrations. I'm not naturally a great lash artist. It takes a lot for me to learn lashing skills. And I relate to that to a lot of students when they first learn handmade volume lashing. It is very hard and it's very particular and it's not for everyone, nor everyone's hands are designed to actually be able to hand make lashes for 3 years, 5 years, working 5 days a week. So when I brought out ProMate, it was sort of new in America, and a lot of people at first kind of roll their eyes and go, oh, you know, I don't know.
I remember those days, yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, I know you sell ProMate, Lash Base sell ProMate, and I remember where people are like, oh my gosh. And I think, you know, there was a time that a new thing came out, and people at first are not acceptive of it and go, oh no, I'm, you know, this is how I do it. And I hand make my fan, but on days that is really hard and my hands really giving me trouble, I use ProMate and I don't see a significant difference. I see a time cut during my set. I see that it's easier on my hands. So I stand by it. I really think ProMate is going to be the future of lashing. And some people may disagree. And if you can hand make your fan and it's beautiful and your hands are able to, and it's not giving you any trouble, kudo to you, you know, like more power to you, because you don't spend more money on supplies, and that's great. And I believe everyone should learn how to hand make their fans, but also if it's too hard, would you try ProMate? Because, you know, it makes a whole world of a difference. I'm actually getting a set put on today, and I'm having Narrow Tendy ProMate put in on my eyes, and my lash artists are like, Michelle, are you sure you don't want me to handmade, you know, the fan and put on your eyes? And I said, I won't be able to tell a difference, so I don't care.
Yeah, and I feel like that's probably the same as a lot of clients. And yeah, I think we always talk about how ProMades are the future, but I've been saying recently, ProMades are now the present. ProMades aren't the future anymore. They are the present. You only have to look around. Most lash brands have an option for ProMades now, or at least that's what they're working towards. I think one of the excellent things that's happened over the years, which I believe you guys are PLA have done as well, is really, really brought down the prices of what ProMades, how much ProMades costs. Because one of the big objections that people had 4 years ago was the price, because at the time, and to a certain degree, sometimes still today, pre-mades can cost a lot more compared to handmade volume. So there are pros and cons to how you work out the time saved, your speed, your health, your, like, all of that stuff. However, with ProMades now, the price point has actually come down enough that arguably you could say that they're kind of the same value now, because we've done some testing at Lash Base, in which we gave a technician that we got in, we gave her a tray of volume, just normal lashes. And we said, could you make some fans, please? So we know that in a tray of like 0.07 lashes, there's, I think it was something like 4,000 to 5,000 individual strands. And we said, can you just make some fans for us, like 3D, 4D, 5D, just to make them? And I think it was around 5 to 10% of the tray gets wasted, because how many times do you try and hand make a fan? The fan doesn't go quite right. So you're just sort of in a frustrated way, just quickly throw the fans to the side and brush it off your table whilst you're carrying on. Whereas ProMade fans, it's already done for you. If you're buying a pot or a tray or whatever that has 1,000 fans in, or 700,000, whatever it is, that's the same number of fans you'd get from a tray of lashes, and you don't waste any. And that when you compare pricing now, everybody's at very similar pricing. So that's why I say ProMades are the present now, because some of the objections that people had, don't get me wrong, as you can probably tell from how passionate I'm being about this, I'm a big fan of ProMade fans, and have long been someone that said these are the future. However, if you can hand make, then and carry on, because I feel like with handmade volume, you get an education as well that you don't get taught if you skip learning handmade volume. So there are things that you can learn and things that you can know. But yeah, so that's enough of my rant on why I think ProMades are good. The next question that I want to ask, because I think what you've explained in how you got started and why you were so successful where others may not have been, you over the last, maybe 2 years, 3 years, have had such fast growth. I'm really interested to know that logistically, how did you manage that? Because how did you keep the supply up for the demand? How did you get the storage? How did you deal with shipping all the orders? Did you have any obstacles that you had to overcome in experiencing? Because it sounds great. People think, oh, wow, look how much and how well you've done in such a short space of time. But that's not easy. There's so many other new problems that come with that. I just want to know, how did you manage that?
So I say there were tons and still are a tons of obstacle when it comes to growing a business and growing it so quickly. I didn't come out and go, well, you know, my goal this year is to sell $30 million a year or $20 million a year. It was, this business was supposed to be a side hustle for me. Once I realized the potential of it and really decided to invest my time into it, I altogether put in $10,000 for this business from day one. And I told my husband I would not put in any more, just because if it doesn't work out, it affects my family. I have two small children. And so when we first start, I say, number one, the first thing that I stand by is don't expand before you are ready. I stay in my garage for about a year and a half. I stay at the first warehouse that's 4,000 square feet for about a year. And by the time that I moved to my 40,000 square foot building, at that time, my building was busting in spaces. And financially, could we have moved earlier? Yes. But I wanted to make the space work until I couldn't anymore. So saving out cash and reinvesting in the business is a huge part of PLA. I didn't put in a lot of cash to begin with, so I want to make sure I don't withdraw cash that would make the business suffer. So we live moderately. You know, we live like your regular family. I didn't live any different than when I was the lash technicians. And that was one. Logistic wise, supplies is always hard. Supplies is a math that I constantly juggle every day. Where did I order too much? Did I order too little? Do I have enough to last me through after Lunar New Year, where, you know, Asia shut down for a good decent month and a half?
Yeah.
And all of those stuff. Admittedly, the first 2 years, I missed every major holiday that they closed because I didn't know Thanksgiving in Korea was a different Thanksgiving than we are. I didn't know the holiday in Pakistan like I do now. Yeah. I didn't know, in Vietnam they closed for about, I say, 2.5 weeks manufacturers for Lunar New Year, but China they close about 5 weeks. Yeah. And all of those stuff I kind of learned as I'm go, oh shoot, what? Why don't you answer my email? And they'll be like, hey, yeah, no, we closed for another 3 weeks. And I'm like, oh, well, note that down. So next year, I won't make that mistake, you know? And so the first 2 year was a lot of fumble. The first 2 year was a lot of like, oh my gosh, I didn't know. And I think with every time I make those mistakes, I write it down and I make darn sure that next year, I'm not going to miss it. My biggest challenge is to manage inventory. So we have about 5,000 SKUs at PLA, and that's a lot of SKUs. I launched with about 10 or 12 SKUs. And for everyone who's listening, a SKU is just a variant of the lash. So, you know, if I have 5D 0.078 C curve, that's one SKU. Time that to 3D to 20D and all kinds of different variations of what we carry and accessories and adhesive. So roughly about 5,000 SKUs. It is impossible to keep track of if you're not organized. And I'm OCD, but not organized. Does that make any sense?
You'd probably be very stressed all the time.
I'm a stress ball, but I thrive on stress and I love challenges. One thing about me that I wish I had done was I don't have a business background. A lot of things I learn is by doing. Translate to, I make a lot of mistakes and I learn from it. And I think if I had a business background, things would have been very different. I would have come in with a purpose and, you know, make sure that I organized it. I planned things a little bit ahead of time, but I didn't. And that was things that I've learned the last 2 years, where now I say, this is PLA now is probably the most organized it has ever been. We implement a barcode system. We use a barcode just like, you know, you would manage a supermarket. So you know what items is almost out, what is, you know, how many items your store, if that SKUs hit X amount of items, it's time for you to reorder. And all of that was in my brain 2 years ago. So I missed a lot of it. And now that everything's on a spreadsheet, on a system, I go in every day and I'm like, okay, I have to reorder that. So it's just more getting organized. I put in a barcode system significantly change our business in terms of operation. And those are the things that lash artists going into business do not think of because they didn't know. Just like myself, I just think I have great product. I have, you know, good marketing-ish, and I am educating people on how to use the product, or I'm teaching them about lashing with or without my product, and I'm just going to sell a tons. Well, you're going to sell a tons, but you also have to make sure that you know to manage your business. Tons of people going into this business ended up telling me, Michelle, I don't understand why I didn't sell $20,000 this month. Why am I spending $25,000 buying supplies for next month? But I have to, because if I want to keep my business going, I'm out of some variants. I have to buy them and I have to meet up with the MOQ, the minimum quantity order. So it's like a swallowing cash hole. And I said, absolutely, this business is a swallowing cash hole. It's just, you have to make sure that you order enough, but not too much. You have to make sure that products on your shelf has to turn and turn fast enough for you to make money and then take it and go buy more to feed the next month's sales. Because if you sell $2 million this month, next month, you're probably going to sell $2.3 million. So now you have to have enough inventory to cover for next month, and not just next month, the month after. So you have to feed about 2 or 3 months worth of growth ahead of time with the cash that you make. Otherwise, you're going to dangerously go into, I'm going to need a line of credit. I'm going to need, you know, to borrow a loan. I am going to have to put a tons of my products on sales just so I make enough cash to keep feeding this monster. That's the one thing that majority of lash artists turned business owner do not foresee until they actually in that positions. I mentor a few lash brand where they say that cannot be true. How am I spending this amount of money when I didn't make that much? And that's just a part of growing the business. Come back to, don't expand before you have to. So consume your cash as much as you can. Just because you had a month that you sold 500 grand and your profit margin is 65%, doesn't mean you get to take that cash and go to the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just one of those things. And I it's hard to be disciplined. And when your business is doing good, I feel like the better your business is doing, the more disciplined the owner has to be and more responsible they are to the dollar that they earn, because knowing it's doing so well means it's going to do better next month and it's going to do better next month. And you better run like hell so you have enough cash to feed it. Your inventory is going to grow from $5,000 to now you have $1 million in inventory sitting in your building. And how are you going to turn that? So those are the logistics that I think majority of brand owner don't see it until it's a little bit too late, where they're sitting in their warehouse and they go, oh, shoot. Or they look at the bank account, they're like, oh my God, I have a really successful business, but I'm cash tight. It's the definition of cash poor. And lots of brand runs into that. So if they see that, if they know that ahead of time and budget accordingly, one of the thing that a lot of brand owner are not aware of is accounting is very important. Accounting and marketing are the two very important department of your business, that the earlier you figure it out, the better your business is going to grow.
I would agree with everything that you've said there. And the struggles that you've had, we've also experienced. And bringing in, it's something we're bringing in the UK at the moment, is a barcoding system as well, finally, because we're moving to a bigger warehouse in the UK. which is why it was the opportunity to, as we're going through ordering new artwork and getting things done and moving, we're just doing it all in one go, because yeah, that is a huge one. And with the trying to keep hold of inventory as well, you can predict as closely as you can. And I feel like we're getting pretty good at our predictions. However, sometimes you cannot predict a random change in a trend, which makes one variant suddenly very popular. And then you order a lot more of that in, and then all of a sudden the trend changes and that's not the popular variant anymore, which is just an ongoing battle that I think anybody that has a lash brand will be trying to figure out.
Absolutely. And every brand is constantly coming out with new things. And, you know, you have to, you don't just sell lashes, right? You have to produce content to promote the type of lashes that you're coming out of. So constantly you're doing a new lash set, you're calling in a model, you're doing content shoot, all the things. And majority of the time when you are a lash artist following a brand, all the marketing team's work is shown by one 30-second videos a day, but behind it is a team who, yeah, you know, make sure that everything, the person is scheduled, they showed up, they do the work, they took picture, they probably take 500 and then they post one of it. And most lash artists turn brand owner don't realize that. I didn't know any of that. I thought I would just do great with my iPhone, you know, but turned out it needed a lot more than my iPhone, and it needed people that are a lot more savvy than I am at the field that they are professionals at. So, yeah,
that's it. Well, okay. So what would you say out of everything so far that you've encountered, if someone was to ask you, what is the worst part of running a lash brand that others don't realize?
I would say this questions is different every year for me, because every year I have a different kind of challenge. This year for me is right now, PLAs is at a really good place where we have great, incredible staff. My biggest challenge right now is to make sure that we grow, but also we support the community that support us. That's a big part for me this year. And that's hard because we try to reach out to everyone that, you know, in the beauty industry, and we try to get back on doing Let Paris Pay Your Bills. And we're trying to have our brand be more than just looking at numbers and see how much are we going to hit this year? How much are we going to hit this month? We're trying to have more purpose with our lash company than just about sales. And that's something that I struggle with a lot, because people reach out to us all the time. We need help with this. We need help with that. So right now for me, probably figure out a way that we could give back to the community that also helps our business growth at the same time. Last year, if you asked me, I would probably say the nightmare of moving and the nightmare of figuring out logistic and how to shrink 5,000 SKUs and how to train my 10 new people that are packer and puller, how to pull and pack the correct item. So it kind of depends on the time yeah, you ask. Yeah.
Great. Cool. Okay. And then if you were to start a lash brand today, so not 4 years ago, so just today, what would you do differently, if anything?
I wouldn't say I did anything differently. Yes and no, but not too significantly different. If I would have started a lash brand today, knowing all the things I did, it's two things I would probably go in and set up very early on. I would probably set up a corporation instead of an LLC. That was probably my biggest regret. Running the company. And it's a long story, but to sum it up, if you do an LLC, your tax is right between 35 to 37%. And if you do a corporation, your tax is at 21%. So if there's any takeaway that you take from me learning a business and hit my face a lot on the ground, if you are going to start a business, I would recommend that you do a corporation. If you have crazy big dream that you're going to run, you know, turn your company into a multi-million dollars company, do a corporations instead of doing an LLC. It saves you so much in the long run. And it may not matter a whole lot in the first year and a half that you run your business where you sell a couple hundred thousand dollars. But when your tax bills start to be in the millions of dollars, you're going to go, oh my God. Yeah. And it costs a little bit at first, more, you know, paperwork wise. But you know, a couple thousand dollars is going to save you hundreds and hundreds, if not millions of dollars in taxes. So, you know, so on. And then the one thing I would recommend to new brand owner is don't come out with a mediocre brand with everything the same as other brand. Focus on one good product that you think is going to be your hero, market and advertise the hell out of it, make as much money as you can from it. And then when you have the cash flow and actually have cash to expend, then you can grow your SKU. But if you come out with 500 SKU the same as everybody else, you're going to fight with giant monster like Flashbase that only been around for a really long time. And it's hard to compete with big brand because they have bigger budgets. So if you are a smaller lash brand, pick your winner and just keep grinding.
But funny you should say that. Like that's true of the UK, but here in the US, we are the little guy, kind of the little guy. That's what we're kind of fighting with ourselves. The difference in marketing, the difference in what makes us different, and why should people choose Lashbase? And that's where we're at in the US. That's what we're focusing on at the moment, trying to find our identity again in a different country. Because in the UK, it is completely different. We've been around a long time. We have that trust and authority. We run both the UK and the US as two separate businesses, which means that they have separate resources, because what we have done enough of already, because we were supposed to launch Lashbase US before the pandemic, was put enough money into it. So we made the conscious decision in it has to be self-sustaining from now. So like you've already talked through about when it comes to using your cash to reinvest, everything we do is all now self-sustaining, rather than going, oh, it's all right, we can just use some of the UK funds to pass across to buy more product, to do whatever it is we want. So yeah, that's exactly where we're at in the US as well. So that's a great piece of advice. Well, also where we're at with Lashbase here in the UK, we have ourselves one member of staff at the moment. We hope that within the next, I'd say, 6 months, we might have two members of staff, and going forward from there. With PLA and the growth that you had over 2 years, it's not something that we're predicting for ourselves here at Lashbase. And I don't think anybody that starts a lash brand should predict or project that they'll grow as fast as you did. Well, they might do, but I don't think they should predict that. But how did it go for you with hiring staff? At what point did you know you were ready? This is for the e-commerce business. At what point did you know you were ready to hire staff? All the way up until how many staff do you have on the books right now?
So right now, employees, PLA has about 58 employees. And 98% of us are in Reno, Nevada. We have a few remote employees, but not too many. I think we have 3 or 4. I start hiring people when I find myself drowning. I am myself a workaholic. So I work 10, 12, 14, 16 hours a day. And I'm also a control freak. So it was very hard. This is a learning lesson for me, a very hard one, is to let go, delegate, and find people who are smarter than I am at their job to help me. I always say the turning point of our company is to hire people that are very good at their job. And everyone, a member of our teams, are good at what they do, or if they are not yet, they damn try very, very hard to learn and to succeed and to take ownership on what they do. I say my first employee was Colton. And Colton, he came when I was still in the garage. Pretty sure that was illegal. Not great working environment. But you know, I just couldn't. I was working at the salon, and I was trying to pack orders, and I was trying to get everything by out by 3 o'clock, and he was in school and he needed a part-time job. So I hired him, and, you know, we have a clock to beat. Our goal is to get everything out by 5 o'clock. So for our warehouse staff, when we fail to do that, that was when we know, okay, our team is drowning. Let's hire another person, and let's hire another person. And then on our admin teams, we slowly bring in people, you know, as HR, as controller, as accountant, marketing associate, our R&D. We bring them in as we need them, because I used to be them all, and I would do all of those jobs very horribly, because I didn't have any experience. Like, I didn't know social media. I barely have a Facebook as it is. My Instagram rarely ever has anything on there. And if it does, it's because Caitlin pokes me to do it. Or sometimes she'll be like, take a picture of yourself and post on your Instagram. I have a really private life. Just, you know, my husband and my kids and my siblings. So when I hire in people that know, that are expert in their fields, I see a jump in our business, and big jumps, small jumps. Some I fought for forever, like HR. I fought the longest time. I'm like, why do I need HR? You know, everyone likes each other. Just move along and get along. But when you get to an amount of employees, then you have to make sure that you do everything correctly and legally and all the things. And I know nothing about legal. I also know nothing about accounting. So for me to hold on to those pieces and did them for as long as I could was almost ignorant. And some part of it I pay dearly. Some part of it I was just like, oh man, I didn't know I could save that much money by hiring the expert in to do it. Often people look at bringing in a person and say, how much is that going to cost me a year? I used to do that. Now I think about how much does that person help the business make a year, and how much does that person help the business save a year? And when you change the perspective, hiring a person in, if they and give them and pay them well, you know, give them the right incentive and help them succeed in their career, really is what helped make POA succeed in their career. I'm mediocre at most things, and I'm grateful that I have a team that are extremely talented that really come in and help. So yeah.
Well, I'd agree with you, because I met a few, didn't I, in Vegas when we bumped into you at the show, and since then, obviously we all follow each other on Instagram, and everybody is such lovely and talented people. So obviously, that's, you say you're mediocre at most things, you're obviously good at hiring.
Thank you. Yeah, I got lucky a lot with a lot of my team members. Some of my team members, I'm like, why are you here? You're so good. You know, but I hope that they see the company as an opportunity to learn and growth in a professional career too, because our company is growing so quickly that they'll get to try a lot of things a lot quicker than if you would work in a regular corporate, you know, or climbing the ladder. It's just a little bit slower. And here we big on hiring within and promote within. So I hope that is a good perk for people that work at PLA. But yeah, don't be worried about hiring people. Hire them as you need, so then you get to spend time with your kids somehow. God, I don't know how my husband hasn't left me yet. The first like 4 years, I'm like, are you sick of me? I'm never here. And he's gonna raise our two children, you know. But good work-life balance. I'm loving that.
Okay, well, that wraps up all of the questions that I had, apart from the last one that I always ask. But I just wanted to say that from when me and my mum met you in Vegas, and obviously from just speaking to you and seeing you online a lot, and this conversation as well, both before we started recording and during the podcast episode, you are a massive inspiration and motivation to me, to my mum. Like, I see so many similarities to you and my mum, in terms of you're all about your family, you're quite a private person, you're just trying to do the right thing for the right reasons, which is why I think we collectively, like everybody at Lash Base, feel so connected to you guys, and we barely know each other.
Thank you, Jamie. That's so sweet.
That's all right, that's okay. And Yeah, so my last question is the one I always ask, and that is, what does the future hold for you and Paris/Academy?
For me, it's a personal challenge of kind of growing the business a little bit more in all different aspects. I hope and dream that PLA one day will be the one-stop shop for all things beauty, not just lashes. So you guys know we expanded to nails, and I don't know, maybe one day hair. I really want to be the e-commerce Cosmoprof, but brand specific for PLA. That's my long-term dream. For PLA right now this year, heading to the holiday season, I think we're just going to paddle like hell, make sure that we get every orders out there and make sure that we'll beat the crazy, you know, tie until after Chinese New Year, and keep growing the awesome team that we do. That's all I think we have for now.
Nice. And are you all getting all set for Black Friday?
Yeah, we actually just talked about it yesterday. We're planning all the things for Black Friday, and this we're gonna do a little bit different Black Friday this year, and it's gonna be a little bit crazy. But our marketing team is so creative, and I'm letting them hold the wheel this Black Friday, so it's gonna be amazing.
Okay, so we'll see how stressed you get with that then.
Yes. Well, Caitlin, see how stressed Caitlin's and marketing team's going to get with that. This holiday year, I think I'm going to take some time and spend some time with my kids. My kids are 6 and 8, and they need so much of me and my husband in their life. And our teams are so great that I'm going to practice what I preach, you know, to delegate and let go a little bit this year.
Yeah, and knowing your team, you will wish you did it last year and the year before that.
Oh yes. I don't want my kids to turn, you know, 15, 16, 17 and go, where the hell were you? You were never here. That's not my goal in life. So as the better the company does, the more I feel like I need to make it up for them for the last 8 years that I was gone a lot. And I'm fortunate that my team really are very encouraging for me to do that. They're like, take a vacation, go away, we don't really want you.
I do exactly the same for my mum. Can you just retire now? Can you retire?
Yes.
I've got kids, so it's like can you just look after the grandkids, please?
Well, Jimmy, you are amazing. I mean, you are definitely the face of Lash Base, and I love every single one of videos that you do. I think you are so brutally honest and so refreshing, and your videos are just so relatable and nice. And no wonder why Lash Base grow as big as they do, you know, in the UK and a really big presence in the US now. You may say you're small, but I see your videos everywhere, and you truly are an inspiration. If your mom wants to retire, I'm sure she has all the faith in you. You can do it.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm gonna leave it there, Michelle. Thank you very much for coming on and doing this episode with me. I've really enjoyed it, and I'm sure people listening will have really enjoyed it as well. We got more guests coming next week, so everybody, thank you very much for listening. I'm gonna say goodbye now, and I'll leave Michelle to say the final goodbye before the end of the episode.
Thank you so much, Jamie and Lash Base, for having me on this podcast. I really truly appreciate that. Hopefully we'll get a chance to do it soon.
Thank you. See ya. Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye.